Who is your daddy?
I am the father.
You fathers will understand.
My father taught me many things.
I got an idea. How about you all sit there quietly while I make dad noises?
Welcome to another week of Fathers of the Grind. My name is Tim Nestor, and I'm here with Derek Teague.
Hello?
I didn't want to tell you to say hello last time, you know, that got the robotic response. I just wanted to let you naturally. It didn't work. It wasn't natural whatsoever. Derek, how's it going?
Well, like, as soon as I hear your voice, I start to zone out, so I need...
That's true.
...like, you to, like, ring a bell or something for me to say hi.
Yeah. Yeah, for those of you who don't know, my Christmas gift to Derek was just me reading the dictionary, and it puts him to sleep. It's his sleep tape that he uses every night.
I don't need to count sheep. I just listen to him speak.
All right, so last week we talked about video game burnout, and I liked our discussion on that. I think a lot of people can relate to it. And so I wanted to share just a little bit of community feedback. And if you didn't hear that episode, I encourage you to go back, check out episode 12, and listen to the video game burnout discussion. It's kind of interesting because we're in that weird phase between some major releases, and yeah, it was a good discussion. So I wanted to share a little bit of community feedback. We heard from JP Thorne, and he said, last gen, I went a couple of years where I had no interest in gaming, so I missed out on a lot. I'm not sure necessarily what that it was burnout, but rather just a phase of my life where games completely fell off my interest list. So JP can relate. Jesse White also chimed in, said, I've never gone years, but this past December until February, I couldn't get a game to hook me. So he tried several, and it wasn't until he replayed Ori recently that he kind of snapped out of it.
Ooh, Ori.
A young man that I think you're familiar with, James Teague, said, I would say for me it was after playing WoW, World of Warcraft, for those of you unfamiliar, hardcore for about 7 years. And then he also played some Star Wars The Old Republic for a bit. And then it looks like he stopped altogether for a couple years, mm-hmm. and then got to 360, still didn't get hooked again. And the one that brought him back was Unity on this gen. So that's interesting.
Pretty funny that that's one of the most hated Assassin's Creed games, and that's the one that hooked my brother.
I know. I thought he was going to say AC Black Flag when I saw AC, but no, it's Unity. Paul Lachlan, I think that's how you say it, Lachlan, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's nailed perfect. Nailed it. Definitely.
He said, I get burnout every once in a while, and he enjoys the hobby. He doesn't game as much as he used to when he was younger. He doesn't have the free time, and he has to be a little more choosy about the entertainment he consumes because of his schedule. So he might go an entire month without playing, and this recent season of Daredevil he mentions, I think that might be a reason he didn't play as much recently, was great. He loved it.
Yes.
So that's Paul's reaction, and I think we both agreed with that, obviously, from our discussion last week.
Yep.
Lastly, I wanted to share that Gunblade Hero
said he never
experienced burnout. That's his Christian name. From video games, generally speaking. But I do experience burnout on certain games and genres. Right now, he says FPS is a genre he's a little burnout on. And I actually can really appreciate that, where I can get open world burnout. I could get turn-based RPG burnout, first-person shooter burnout. So I can appreciate that more than just general games, because I think we talked about last time how when we feel burnout of certain games, we retreat back to these kind of quick fix or more casual type of pick up and play and then stop whenever you want, i.e. Rocket League and things like that, or Division even, or Destiny. So anyway, thank you guys for your feedback. I know more contributed to that conversation as well, but thank you so much for your input on that. And if you want to keep the discussion going, you guys, feel free to head over to Facebook and join our Fathers of the Grind Facebook group. And we'd love to have you in there. All you have to do is request to join, and either Derek or I will make sure we add you to the group, and you can jump in on the conversation. There's always something being talked about or argued about in there. So feel free to join. You don't have to be a parent, by the way. Even though we are Fathers of the Grind, Derek and I are both dads. We're husbands. We work full-time. We've got wives who don't really game that much. But that doesn't mean that you have to be that same life situation. That's what I like about the group so far, is that we've got a mixture of different life situations. So feel free to join in.
Yep.
All right, we want to talk about one of the biggest news reveals, news headlines of the last week. And before we do that, we're going to dive into a bunch of details on Final Fantasy 15. But before we do that, just wanted to admit to you guys, I have a horrible throat cold. It's back again. It's circled back around. And for the most part, I feel okay, but my throat just took a beating today. I took the day off of work, but still talking quite a bit at home with all my kids at home on spring break. So yeah, just not feeling the best. So if I stop talking altogether or start coughing a lot, hope you can forgive me. And Derek's just going to take over. Just Derek asking Derek questions and then Derek giving answers and making fun of himself. It's going to be fun.
Well, I mean, it's something I've really thought about. Like, you know, I really feel like this show, and as the show goes on, it has to improve. It has to adapt. It has to change. And it has to improve. And I just feel like if we ever got to the point where we got rid of you and just made it like a Derek and Derek show, where like I'm just literally talking to myself, that we could
D&D.
We could take this D&D. We could take this show to the next level. Like we could do it, but you wouldn't be a part of we. It would be we me.
Yeah.
The new Wii U game. I can't wait.
Oh my goodness! If that's Nintendo's NX, it actually becomes the Wii me. That's gonna be amazing.
Me wee wee.
All right. The biggest news of the week by far, and we've got a few different headlines we're going to cover, not all of them, of course, but a few ones that interest us we want to chat about. The biggest one, and we want to make sure we take time to talk about this, is last night Square had their big Final Fantasy Uncovered event. It was a really cool live streamed event hosted by Greg Miller and Tim Geddes from Kinda Funny, and I thought it was a pretty good show. I didn't get to see all of it. I saw roughly the last half, maybe like the last third. I'm not sure exactly how long it went, but yeah, so I picked up after the middle of it, and I picked up a lot of the major news. So what I want to do is just kind of go through some of their major announcements, and I know, Derek, you got to see the entire thing, and I think you'll have a little more insight for us than I will. But suffice to say, I am now officially really hyped for this game.
Yeah.
I already knew that the demo was out, but I never played it. I never bought Final Fantasy Type-0, and even if there was another way to access that or the demo, I never really went out of my way to do it. Because in general, when it comes to betas or trials or demos, if I already know that I'm probably going to like it, I don't bother. But with this one, Final Fantasy has gone through so many changes since I've played it.
Mm-hmm.
I really should give this one a go. So one of the things we'll talk about is they did release a surprise demo last night, which is a really cool announcement. They called it Platinum Demo, and that was available right then. That was a really cool way that they announced that. So I've downloaded that. I'm going to be playing it. I know it's quite short, but I'm looking forward to that. And at some point between now and the release date, who knows, maybe I will try the full-on demo that came out last year. So, Derek, why don't you give us, let's just start right from the beginning, as you know, kind of go through the announcements they had at this Uncovered event.
Before we jump into like covering what was in the show, which a lot of our listeners, they're gamers, and there was a lot of excitement behind, they know what's in this show.
Yeah.
What I wanted to ask you is, I know you didn't get to see it all, but the little bit you saw, how did you think the show went overall? Like, the hosts, the way they did things and presented stuff, did you like the show, or was it kind of
from what I saw, it was okay. Of course, it was kind of cheesy, but it seemed like everyone there was having fun, and that to me made it a pretty decent show. Like, even though it was cheesy and they had some corny lines, they were setting each other up for jokes, you know, having Dave Fennoy do the voice, the guy from who did Lee from Walking Dead and a few other voices and games, you know, it was all kind of tongue-in-cheek and silly humor, but none of it bothered me. I thought it was a fun show, and it seemed to me clear that everyone there was either an actual fan, which definitely Tim is, and or they're just having fun. They were excited to talk to fans. It was a nice side of Square that we don't often get to see, so I liked it.
Okay. Well, I will say this, I'll add on my two cents, but basically I thought Greg was pretty good. I think he was a little bit of, and he probably had nerves. I know I would if I was doing that. He was a little bit of a tryhard in the beginning. Like, a lot of his jokes were like falling flat, and it just seemed like he was out of place. And then Tim Geddes, I'm not a big Tim Geddes fan. I find him annoying. One of the big reasons I find him annoying is I feel like he's one of those guys that's in this industry that likes like one game, and that's all he likes, one thing, and he doesn't know anything about anything else. And so it kind of drives me nuts, because I'm like, you work in the industry, but you don't play anything. So anyways, that's just my personal pet peeve. I get annoyed by that. But
now how was he as a host for you last night, or I guess a co-host last night?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I thought he was a good host. I mean, he would have definitely been better than like a Colin or something like that, even though Colin generally works good with Greg. I don't think he would have been good for a show like this, and that would be probably why the strategy was to leave him out and put...
Yeah, Colin would have thrown out words like discourse and echo chamber, and it would have been a little bit too intelligent and serious. So yeah.
Yeah, he would have like talked about politics, and all the Japanese people would have been like, what? I don't know what you're talking about. But I thought overall the show was good. And I'm not talking about the content as far as what Square showed. I'm talking about... how kind of funny did the show. I thought it was real good. I thought Dave, is it Fanoi or Vanoi?
I think it's Fanoi. Yeah,
I thought he was really good.
I love his voice.
Yeah, I like his voice, and some of his jokes and making fun of Greg and Tim were pretty funny. And even some of the back and forth between Greg and Dave was pretty funny too. But overall, I thought they did a pretty good job. Like I said, kind of a rough start. Like if you went back and watched the beginning, you would probably agree that it was a little bit rough.
A little cringy.
Yeah, it was a little like, oh, how is this going to be? Because I felt like the cheesiness level was overload in the beginning. But as it played out, really well done. So, going from there, let's cover some of the content. So, one of the big things they did in the beginning is they unleashed a new trailer. Now, you know, I've seen some trailers already for this game, and then, you know, being somebody who follows video games, we get bombarded with a bunch of trailers on a daily basis nowadays. So it's hard to wow me with a trailer. But I will say, after I watched this trailer, it literally wowed me to the point where I had to immediately go onto our Facebook group, Fathers of the Grind, and I had to post about the trailer. And one of the things that I loved about the trailer was, and I don't know if you got to see this one, towards the end of the trailer, a version of Stand By Me starts playing. It's done by UK artist Florence and the Machine. I think I've heard of her or them, but I don't think I've ever heard their music. But their rendition of Stand By Me and the way it was put with the trailer was absolutely phenomenal. Actually, while it was playing, I started looking up the song to see if her version was on iTunes because I wanted to download it right away. It was that good.
Yeah, I will say that Florence and the Machine I've always liked. I believe they also did a song for one of the Game of Thrones seasons trailers, the teasers, as they got ready for a season, maybe season 4
maybe
or something like that.
Maybe that's where I've heard of them before, because it's definitely not...
Well, I've heard them before. They're very good.
They're definitely not a band that I would listen to regularly, but I know when I saw her and they did the interview with her, I was like... I know who you are. Like, I know, I bet you there's a song that you released that I'm like, I know.
Well, did you notice, and they did play that trailer at the end, I think, unless it was a different version of the one they played at the beginning. Is that the one you're talking about?
They played the same trailer in the beginning and then at the end, but at the end they added extra content. But the Stand By Me part was in there twice. It was in there.
Did you notice during the song, like in that rendition of the song, it actually has that kind of... Final Fantasy menu system music.
Yeah.
Did you notice that? The way they incorporated that into the song? That was absolutely amazing.
So
it wasn't even just a great cover of Stand By Me, which it is. It's a great cover of Stand By Me. But they incorporated Final Fantasy original theme music into it. Just amazing. You guys should watch it if you haven't yet. You know what? Go watch it again, even if you've already seen it. It's amazing.
You know what? After talking about it, I think I'm going to. I'm not going to do it right now because it'll disrupt our show.
Yeah.
But I'm really hyped for this game. But again, we'll keep talking about that. So that was one of the first things that they revealed. Then they had some smaller announcements. Like, they started talking about how every Final Fantasy game has like some like small mini game within it. So they announced the Justice Monsters 5, which is, I believe it's out now. I didn't bother downloading it. It doesn't look like something I care about. But it's on Android and iOS, and it's basically like a Final Fantasy pinball game. So download it if you haven't already.
I won't. Right when you say I won't, I say I will.
Oh, yeah, shows how much in common we have.
We are on the same page.
One of the other announcements, now this one I consider to be semi-major, it was something I was definitely excited about when I saw it, was they have released, or they're going to start releasing, a 5-part anime series called Brotherhood Final Fantasy 15.
Yeah, this is one that I haven't heard much about, so tell me about this.
Okay, so right before we recorded, I decided to go ahead and watch part one. So part one's out now. And then I don't know how the release schedule is going to be. I don't know if it's going to be every week, every 2 weeks, every month until the game comes out.
And how are they releasing it? Is it on their website?
I watched it on YouTube. So I just went to I just typed it in. I typed in Brotherhood Final Fantasy 15, and then it showed up on YouTube, and then I clicked on the link.
Awesome.
So kind of, I'm not going to go into spoilers. It's not long. I have a feeling every one of them is going to be like this. So by the time all 5 episodes are done, it's going to be about an hour anime in total.
But this like one 10, was 12 minute episode. Maybe?
Yeah, yeah. It's okay. It was like about 11 minutes long.
Okay.
Kind of gives you a little bit more insight into the group of guys, the little boy band they got going on. So kind of gives you an idea of how they already know each other. They're already hanging out. And they start talking about how life's about ready to change for them. So it's kind of giving you an idea of how they're going to lead into the video game.
Okay.
So I'm really interested in this. I thought it was pretty well done. It was all, at least the version I watched. I don't know if there is a, excuse me, another one. But the voice acting was all in Japanese, which is pretty cool. And then, obviously, you have the English subtitles. So
yeah, I like that, though, for a lot of those movies and shows. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, it was perfect for me because I think, for some reason, I don't know, maybe it's because I don't understand them, but I really like Japanese voice actors. I always feel like they sound more legit than when JRPGs, I should say, go get English voice actors to then read off Japanese scripts.
Well, there's a few cases where it worked out fine. I can think of two real quick that it did not work out fine. There was the DS version of Suikoden called, I can't pronounce it, it's like Tear Crease or something like that. Horrible voice acting, and they ruined that game because there's no option to turn it off. And then also, of course, Final Fantasy X, as much as I loved it, has some of the worst voice acting, especially that part where he has to force himself to laugh. It's just one of the worst scenes in a video game ever.
Yeah, and then so, anyway, even I'm with like you. The Tales franchise struggles. Not that the writing's bad or anything like that. They just get kind of like half-butt voice actors, and it's just not really that good.
Yeah, same thing some anime shows and some movies, too. Like, sometimes when they do the English dubbed version, it's like, ugh, this is painful. Like, you know, give me the original voice actors back. So,
yeah.
So I'm glad. I'm with you. I'm glad that that is just English subtitles and full Japanese. That's cool.
Yeah, so I liked it. I liked episode one. It's real quick, so I'm not going to be like, it blew me away. I mean, it's literally like, hey, we're hanging out, and then I'm not going to ruin the ending, but it kind of the ending kind of leads into a part where it ends where you're going, oh, well, what's going to happen next? So that's good.
Yeah.
So it has
showed
nature.
Up. Yeah.
Yeah, Seth Roth showed up. Cloud was hanging in the mountains.
Yeah.
So cool. I'm looking forward to episode. Yeah, he's just in the background. So I'm looking forward to episode two. Okay. So that was a major announcement to me, but here's the one that, like, really shocked me.
All right.
Because I'm thinking after the anime thing is not a big surprise as far as other games have done this. Like, Mortal Kombat has done, like, comic books that lead up to their games.
Yeah, Halo did a podcast drama series.
Yeah. This is, like, a new thing. I actually watched a video on, what's the game? Mirror's Edge, the new one. Uh-huh. They're also going to do, like, I think they're doing a comic book leading up into the game. They started talking about that. By the way, that game looks phenomenal. Pre-ordering. But anyways, so Brotherhood Final Fantasy 15, that's nothing new.
Right.
Animes, comic books, stuff like that leading into games has kind of been like a new thing that they've been doing the last few years in the gaming industry. But this next one was the thing that, I won't say it was the most exciting news in the whole thing, but it was definitely, like, jaw-dropping, like, holy, I'm excited. And that's, they announced a full-blown CG movie called Kingsglaive Final Fantasy 15.
What a cool name, too, Kingsglaive. That's awesome.
Awesome name. When they first started showing, this is before I knew it was CG, I started watching the trailer, and I'm like, are these real act? And I'm being serious. Maybe it was YouTube or something, or maybe I'm just blind. I was like, is this real actors? Is this CG? I couldn't tell. Everything looked so real that I was really confused. Until a little bit later in the trailer, and I was like, oh, that's obvious. But I'm really excited about this. And
well, according to this article that you linked, I just wanted to chime in here a little bit. According to the article you linked, it's going to be coming out sometime between now and the game release, which we'll talk about that in a little bit, which is this year. And it's going to be on Blu-ray and digital download, so I don't think they have any theater release planned. It stars Sean Bean, of course, known from Lord of the Rings, Game of Thrones, and many, many other movies. He doesn't usually survive in most movies and shows that he's in. Just as a spoiler. Have you ever seen that video, by the way, of all the ways that Sean Bean dies? It's hilarious and violent. But it's hilarious.
I need to watch it.
So he plays King Regis. And then Lena Headey, who was amazing in both 300 and in Game of Thrones as Cersei. She'll be Princess Luna. And then Aaron Paul from Breaking Bad and a few other awful movies. But he was great in Breaking Bad. And he will be the Kingsglaive soldier named Nyx. And so it's cool that they've got some really well-known, really accomplished actors included to this. I just wanted to throw that in there that for me, as someone who loves shows and movies, as we've talked about, I'm excited about the talent that they're bringing on board for this movie.
And that was what I was going to say is, like, first of all, I was excited just because I like CG movies. And one of my favorite CG movies of all time is Final Fantasy VII Advent Children.
Yeah, me too.
Absolutely loved it. Yeah, it had some of the best action scenes I've ever seen in a movie, and that's
also the first time that the Final Fantasy VII characters looked real and cool and awesome compared to their blocky counterparts. So yeah, it was the first time I saw them look cool.
Final Fantasy VII looked legit.
Yeah, totally. Look at my big square hands.
Yes, Cloud, you were such a beautiful beast back then. But Final Fantasy VII, Advent Children, absolutely amazing movie.
Spirits if you Within wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. It wasn't bad.
You know what? I need to rewatch it because, okay, I told everybody on the show, so I'm not going to go into it again, my Final Fantasy VII story where I bought it, but I didn't really play it. Well, I ended up going to see that movie because, guess what? My cousin was a big Final Fantasy freak, and he was like, I gotta go see that movie.
And I still don't think he exists. I'm not sure he's real. Like this cousin. I feel like it's just like this interest that you had, you don't want anyone to know about. You're like, yeah, my cousin wanted to go see it.
Yeah, my cousin Vinny. So my cousin Vinny absolutely loved Final Fantasy, so he wanted to go see The Spirits Within or whatever it's called.
Yep.
And I didn't know a lot about Final Fantasy back then again, so I went and saw it just because that's what he wanted to see, and I hated it back then. But I don't think I've watched it again. And I remember him leaving the theater and going, that was disappointing for a Final Fantasy movie.
Yeah, it did. See, that's the thing. Like, as a sci-fi movie, it was pretty good. It was decent. I remember liking it, not loving it. As a Final Fantasy, I can see the disappointment because it doesn't really feel like Final Fantasy, although there are certain little aspects to it. There's even a guy named Sid in there. But yeah, no. Anyway, I just wanted to say that Spirits of Them is okay. Advent Children was great, but Kingsglaive, I've got high hopes for it. It looks amazing.
It looks amazing. And then what you led in with mentioning three of the actors and actresses that are part of this, they're high quality. Yep. That adds on to it. That adds value to me. So really, really hyped. Now, I will say this is just speculation. I think the CG movie, is going to release the day the game comes out. I know they didn't announce. The reason why is it's part of the collector's edition. Now, granted, they could release it digitally early. I just don't think they're going to. I think they want people to buy the collector's edition, and that comes with the Blu-ray of the movie. So I think they're going to release everything same day. The Blu-ray, the digital version, all that's going to be released September 30th. That's the next announcement.
That's the big one.
September 30th.
That's kind of funny the way they had the button there, like the big red button.
Yeah, I was going to talk about that. Well, not only that, everybody knew. First of all, let me mention this. I thought Greg did a great job of calling out or being basically transparent about them understanding that a lot of things leaked. Right. Instead of acting like, oh, we've got all these surprises you guys don't know about, they knew some of their biggest announcements had already been leaked.
The grand finale had been leaked, basically.
Exactly. And so I like the fact that they were very self-aware, and they knew that everybody watching and listening had been aware of when this was going to release. So one of the things I was going to say is, I liked how they ended up, once they pushed the button and it actually started rotating and showing the date, and I was like, okay, I'm waiting for September 30th. And then I was like, what if they shock us and they release it on another day?
Well, what did they do with the month, though? They threw me off with the month.
Exactly.
Thing.
So then at the very end, it slows down. And everybody thinks it's going to drop on September. And it goes all the way to November. And I'm not kidding. It stopped. And I went, no. Because in my heart, I was hoping it was May. Because I heard a rumor that maybe it's coming out in May.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
And that was why they were having this big thing now. It's because they were going to, like, basically give us 2 months to get ready for it. So when I saw it go to November, I was like, no, not only did I not get May, which I really wanted, but now you're pushing it 2 months past when I thought it was going to be. And then it did a quick flip right back to September.
Yeah, that was kind of a, I can't think of a better word, it was like a cute little funny way to tease everybody. Like, we know you know already, or we're just going to mess with you here at the end. And I like
that. Exactly. So I love that. So
a lot of that was, again, all those little touches, like the red button, having the guy come out and they pushed the red button, but it didn't work. So we had to pull a fake air button out of his pocket. Like these little, again, very silly, but very like personality, I can't think of the right word. It was just laced with personality all throughout that show. Like, it was silly, yes. And parts of it were very cheesy and canned, but it wasn't, it didn't feel like a business or corporate E3 demonstration. It felt like, hey, we're talking to you, the fans, and we want you to enjoy this. And I, overall, the vibe of it gave me that kind of a feeling that they were there to please fans. And I think for the most part, they succeeded in that.
I have yet to see anybody complain. You know, you usually see somebody who's like, well, that was terrible. Yeah. That was a waste of time. I didn't see any of that on the internet.
Same here. Now, let me ask you this. I know you've got, there might be a couple more things you want to point out from the show. Let me just ask you this, though. Do you think this is going to set a precedent for other companies to do more stuff like this? I mean, we've had the PlayStation Experience. We've had different types of unveils from companies, whether it's BlizzCon, you know, Blizzard does their own stuff. Do you think more companies are going to lean this way, where they do this kind of large streaming event, where they get to control the messaging and be the center stage company? Do you think you're going to see more of this away from things like E3, Gamescom, and other big events?
I think for games like Final Fantasy, maybe a Mass Effect, stuff like that, yes.
Like maybe EA will do a big Mass Effect event like this?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. For established franchises, yes. For, you know, for other stuff, like I brought up Mirror's Edge earlier, stuff like that, I think what you're going to see more is companies are getting away from E3. I think they're going to have their little pressers that they can control.
Right.
And you know, even though a lot of people came down on Nintendo with their directs going, you know, the directs aren't the same thing as E3.
Yeah, but they set things in motion for everybody.
Exactly. They control everything.
Yeah.
They're able to message the way they want. They don't have to worry about mess-ups. It's a really – and it's cheaper. I mean
totally.
To film a Nintendo Direct and produce it and do all that is way cheaper than to rent out a stage, to rent out a floor, and set all that stuff up. So
absolutely.
I think more and more companies are going to do that. It's cheaper. It's smarter, in my opinion. I think, I'm not going to say E3 is going to go away, but I don't think you're going to see that type of stuff last as long as we thought it was going to.
Or E3 is basically going to become this online event someday, where I think it might still be called E3, but it's basically going to be like this online digital streaming event where, and they're going to have to come up with reasons, incentives for companies to, you know, conglomerate and combine for something like this. But I could see it being like this week-long event where, yeah, they might have some kind of show or arena where you can go and experience stuff, but for the most part, companies are putting out their big digital announcements at that during that time. So it could become more of that too, where it's more of a digital event. But any other announcements from Final Fantasy 15 that you want to make sure that you comment on?
Yeah, only two things left. I'm going to leave the demo for last because I played it, so I'm going to talk about it a little bit without spoiling it for Tim, obviously. But they did announce, after they announced the launch date, they also announced some cool packages. So obviously the game is available now for digital pre-order on both Xbox One and PS4. That makes
it available
me...
for pre-order, not available now. And they, by the way, did you notice that at the
I
end?
Said that, right? I said pre-order, right?
You said available now for pre-order. And that's kind of what they did at the event the other night as well. He said it's available now, starting now, and Greg had to clarify the pre-order is available for now. Like, they really made it sound like it was available now. So just to be clear, everybody, you may pre-order it now. You may,
yes,
not,
you're
you may not,
not
play the game now.
You are not playing the full game now. But yeah, so they announced the pre-order options. So here's your options. You have digital, which is just the only thing I saw when I went and pre-ordered it, and yes, I pre-ordered it immediately on the PS4,
yeah,
was the $59.99 retail version, your regular version.
Yep. Yep.
They also announced... Yes, the poor man version. But I wanted it. I wanted the. I want to be able to play it at midnight. I'm that excited for this game, and I wanted the theme. I'm a big theme guy, so mm-hmm. I like the PS4 themes, and the one that came with this game is gorgeous. The other thing is they announced. I think it was a limited edition, is what they called it, and that's going to be at all. I think it's at all retailers. I know GameStop's doing pre-orders now. Amazon. I didn't see it on Best Buy. So those who have Gamers Club unlocked, you might have to wait a little bit. But I believe that $90 version will be coming to all retailers, so you can pre-order it there. And if you get the 20% off, it's only $72.
I think one's called the Deluxe Edition, right? That's the $90 one.
Okay, yeah, it was either like limited edition or deluxe edition.
Day one edition, which includes the Masamune downloadable sword to use in game. I think that's the one you got, the day one mm-hmm. edition. So you'll have access to the Masamune sword, and then $90 gets you the deluxe edition, which gets you the steelbook packaging, bonus outfit, weapon, and some in game stuff. So those are the two you've talked about so far.
So what you're saying is I should go buy both.
Maybe. I'm not gonna say that, but maybe.
Or, you know what? I bought the digital one, so I'm going to let you buy me the $90 one, and then you can just ship it to me.
Yeah.
And I'll send you a burrito.
Let's see what... It's going to cross paths in the mail with that sandwich.
Yeah.
You know what I'll do? I'll make you a steel book and write Final Fantasy on it in marker.
Oh my god, you are such a cheap ass. Okay, so moving on. All right, so there's the $90 version, which Tim... politely read off all the stats because I don't know crap. And then there's the Ultimate Edition. This one I do know about.
The Ultimate Collector's Edition, which looks amazing.
It looked amazing, and when I saw it, I knew it was going to be expensive because I was like, they got the statue, they got the steelbook, they've got all these books, mm-hmm. like these art books. They were just loaded with content.
Everything the Deluxe Edition has plus more.
Exactly. So in my brain, with being a person who buys collector's editions or at least tracks their pricing, I said to myself, this is going to be an expensive one. It's not going to be a $130 one or something like that, like Uncharted 4. This is going to be a $150 to $200 one.
Yeah, I thought
right?
$200. So that's what I thought.
Yeah, $200 is going to be max. Mm-hmm. I then go and look it up, and it's $270.
That's right.
It was a huge no.
Well, let me make sure I read all the things included, because it does. I do think you're getting enough value for that. It's just a matter of whether or not you want to spend money on these things. So you're getting, of course, you're getting the game. You're getting everything the Deluxe Edition comes with, the steel bookcase. You're getting all the in-game stuff you would have normally gotten. Steelbook packaging, I should say. You're also going to get a hardcover art book, which whenever you hear that, you know, it's not going to be some cheap little thing they staple together. It's going to be a nice, like, coffee table variety art book they're going to put together. It's the soundtrack, an exclusive mm-hmm. PlayArts Kai Noctis figure, which looks really cool. I'm not sure how big it is, but it looks very cool, so good for collectors. 4 in-game item packs, not just items, but item packs. And, of course, everything else you get in the other edition. So you're getting, I think you're getting your money's worth if you are up to spending that kind of money.
Okay, yeah, if you're a Final Fantasy fanboy, I wouldn't condemn you, obviously. If this was a Mass Effect Collector's Edition, I might be doing the same
thing. If you're Daniel Freitas, or if you're Mark Allen, if you're Clayton Pace, I totally get it.
Yeah, I wouldn't be like, oh, you guys are dumb.
Yep.
Here's the bummer that I was going to share is it's $270, I don't mind doing collector's editions when I know I can get 20% off of them. Uh-huh. So this would be one that you would get $55, around $55 off of it. So it would be $215, which is, in my opinion, reasonable for the amount of stuff they're giving you. Here's the problem. Square Enix said, no, you can only pre-order these. First of all, there's only 30,000. You can only pre-order them from our store, which means no 20% off. You're not getting it from
Amazon. Yeah, no retailers will have this that we have.
Yeah,
right.
You're not going to have it at Best Buy. They're not going to have it at Amazon.
Well, yeah, you kind of skirted past that, but I think that's a big deal. Only 30,000 units worldwide. Yeah. I mean, that's... That
I think it's already sold out. I heard it was already sold out.
As soon as I saw that, I was like, oh, well, I'll never have that. That's okay. I don't know that I would have anyway, but now it's not even an option, I don't think. So.
No.
How much? By the way, how much do you think that edition will go for, like on eBay?
It's going to double its value at least. I think the lowest ones you'll see is $500, $550. And there's going to be people that get it. They're gonna do it. So.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Well, very exciting stuff. I know that you're excited, and I'm pumped that you pre-ordered it already. So cool. We get to play that on September 30th. Oh. Final Fantasy 15. And dude, by the way, seeing all this Final Fantasy stuff. not game sharing. I'm coming to your house. So all this Final Fantasy talk has actually got me like, oh, I need to play a Final Fantasy again. I don't know which one.
Yeah.
Maybe I want to fire up 10 remastered, or like you said, go back to 7. Go back to my favorite of all time, 6, which I have. I actually have Game Boy Advance SP sitting on the shelf here with a little charger on top of it, and I've got Final Fantasy VI Game Boy Advance version sitting there. Who knows? Like, randomly, I might just be like, I'm doing this and jump back into it. But
I don't know. Yeah, I got the taste, VI is probably pretty bad.
VI is amazing. It's a perfect RPG. But I'm very excited for this now all of a sudden. Like, last night's event, I think it did exactly what their marketing and planning people wanted it to do, and that was... It drummed up excitement for the franchise, in addition to telling people who are already going to buy it, they were already going to buy Final Fantasy 15. They just wanted to know more. Mm-hmm. This was also meant for people like me who were interested but not necessarily pumped for it, because it got us amped up for this game. So,
yeah, I mean,
well done, Square.
I thought it was
a great event.
I would say I'm one of those that was like pumped but not... Like, if somebody said, hey, what's your top five games you're excited for 2016, it was not one I was going to mention. I was going to put Quantum Break, Uncharted, those type of games ahead of it. Right. After watching that, I think it was an hour and a half presentation, that game jumped up hugely. Like, to the point where I'm like, I want to go play Final Fantasy X. I want to play Final Fantasy right now. So
yeah, for me personally,
it did a great job.
You can chime in on what your thoughts on your most hyped games for this year are. But for me personally, Uncharted 4, of course, is coming out. That's one I'm most excited about in the immediate. And the next one I'm hyped about the most is Horizon Zero Dawn, assuming that comes out this fall.
I think it'll get delayed, but yeah.
Yeah, if it comes out this fall, that's my number one hyped game. If it gets delayed, which wouldn't be a shock, then Final Fantasy 15 is that one that's the only other one that I'm extremely excited for this year. There's others that I think are going to be cool, but that's that one I am now really hyped on. So
let's talk about one more thing and then we'll move on, because we saved, I won't say the best, but another important thing for last, and that's like you said earlier, they mentioned or they announced that a new demo. So they released an old demo, or they released a demo a year ago if you pre-ordered Final Fantasy Type-0, which the game, I'm not going to say it's trash, but if you play it, it's a little difficult to play because it has a terrible camera and there's some other issues with it. But it came with...
But shout out to Mark Allen. He says the story is good.
That's Mark's opinion. I've heard from several people it's good. So I wouldn't mind actually, you know, finishing it. But... Yeah. They announced the release of a new demo. This demo's definitely smaller than the one that was released a year ago. Right. But the one that was released a year ago was part of the game. So when you buy Final Fantasy 15, everything that I played a year ago is already in the game.
I won't miss anything by skipping that one that came out last year, right?
No, that's just like a taste of the world, the four characters that you play with and all that
stuff. The combat.
Yeah, which it's good. It's real cool. But this new demo, this is what I thought was cool. And this is how, I'm just going to say this. This is how you do a demo if you want me to play it. you tell me this is a demo of your game, but it's not going to be in your game. It's just a taste of what the game is like, but it's not in the actual final
release. And the engine itself, too. Like, here's the engine in action, all that kind of stuff. Yeah,
exactly. So that's what they did. So this this demo, or whatever you want to call it, is not in Final Fantasy 15. And so you get to play as the lead protagonist. I believe his name's Noctis. You get to play him as a child. Now, again, I'm not going to spoil this, but this is stuff you could see just by watching the show last night. It has a total Kingdom Hearts vibe to it. You're running around with this little spiky-haired, long-haired, brown-haired kid, you know, pulling out these magical swords while walking on books and papers. You're just like this mini little creature running around, or a little kid running around. It's really well done. It's not very long. I tried to find everything. I don't think I did. I didn't check my stats. It took me 40 minutes, and that was with me doing a boss battle twice. I'd already beat.
I might just play that tonight then. That's cool. That's
yeah.
Like
you could probably beat it in 30 minutes. But okay. I beat the boss, and then I went and fought him again just for fun. And I think they upped the level because he was definitely harder the second time than the first time.
Unless you got worse at the game somehow.
Exactly, which that definitely, I mean, I'm pretty terrible at games. But
progressively worse.
Exactly. Oh,
that's
going to
be on your tombstone. Derek Teague, progressively worse.
Written by Megan Teague.
Probably.
Yes. So anyways, the demo's really good. It's definitely worth finishing because A, it's not long, and B, like I said, this is how you do a demo. It's not in the game, so I feel like I'm doing something special that I'm not going to repeat later on. So, really well done. Got me even more hyped. I was like, oh, come on, I need Final Fantasy 15 right now.
And I want to chime in, too, on this. The way they announced the demo, the guy, I forget the guy's name. He was sitting on the couch just talking to him, and he said, there's a new demo in the works. And he was very clear to say it that way. And he was coy about when it's coming out. But, you know, it's coming soon. And then he started talking about the demo. And he actually played it on the big screen to let everyone see it. So in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, they're talking about it now. They'll put it out at E3. And then the game will come out in September. That's what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. But then when they finally pressed him on it at the end, he goes, all right, fine, it's out tonight. And then, you know, crowd goes crazy. And even me watching it, you get that little moment of like, sweet, that's awesome. Yeah. It's kind of like Fallout 4's announcement last year. They're like, hey, by the way, this game's coming this fall. And here's a free mobile game. It's available right now. Go download it and play it. Those little moments are cool. And I think more companies need to do that. These little fan service things that, again, this, like you said, it's not a huge demo. It's a little taste of the engine, of the world, get to know this character a little bit more. It probably didn't take them a ton of time compared to what's in the rest of the game. And what a great little kind of special gift, I guess you could say, to fans. Very cool that they did that.
Yeah. So going into it, most people were aware that the demo was supposed to come out tonight. So even how he did that got me to a point where I was like, oh, he specifically said it like this. Maybe it's not coming out tonight.
Yeah. No, but again, I thought the way he played it sounded very exactly, like PR speak. Like, it's not ready tonight. Huh.
No, it's not ready. I like the way they did that. They were playing off knowing people knew all this stuff.
Yep.
And so they were their goal was to make you second guess. And they did it. They did it twice with me. They did it with the demo, and they did it with the release date, where I was like, maybe the people were wrong. And no, they weren't wrong. Everybody was right.
Cool. Well, it's very exciting, and guys, stay tuned. Well, I'm sure we'll be talking more Final Fantasy 15 in months to come. Probably not anytime in a episode, you know, right away, but here in a few months, as more Final Fantasy 15 stuff comes out, maybe when the movie drops, and then of course when the game comes out, assuming that me and Derek are still alive and don't hate each other, we'll be talking about it then.
What if we talked about Final Fantasy every week and we changed our podcast name to like Grind the Fantasy?
Ew. That's my response to that name.
That was terrible. I thought you would be like, oh, that's great. I'd like to grind your fantasy.
As soon as you said grind the fantasy, I just started, I need to go get a shower. Hang on. That's gross. All right, well, let's move on here. I know we've spent a lot of time talking Final Fantasy. Thanks for bearing with us if you guys are not Final Fantasy fans. By the way, if you're not, this is a good time to jump in. You don't need to know. I mean, I know it says Final Fantasy 15. You don't have to have played any of the other 14 or many other spinoff games to enjoy this. It's a totally new story.
Yeah.
Any of the things that are connected to the past games are just an aesthetics and name only. So you can just jump into this game. Feel free to do that. You don't need to go back. It's not like a TV show or a movie series.
While it is an RPG, the game plays more like really action oriented. Yeah. So.
Yeah, yeah. So don't be afraid to jump in on this. I've seen people ask that, like, "Hey, I've never played Final Fantasy. I'm interested, but do I have to?" Nope, you don't have to. You just jump right in. All right. So another big thing that's been happening recently is Nintendo related. Why don't you tell me a little bit about Miitomo, this new Nintendo app?
Yeah, so I'll go over this real quick. We'll make this real quick. So today launched the app from Nintendo called Miitomo. I went ahead and signed up. I linked all my accounts, everything like that. And so basically you create or you can export, I guess, your Mii over. I just created a new one. And basically I didn't know what I was getting into, but it's a lot cooler than I thought it was going to be. So you create your Mii and then you add friends and then you just do like little stupid stuff. Like they'll ask you questions like, "Hey, what's really interesting that's caught your eye recently?" And then you just answer it. And so a lot of my answers, like, I'll tell, like, it'll ask me a serious, sweet question, and I'll tell it to F off. Or, you know, like, what's been interesting lately? And I'll put, like, me. So I'll answer it, and then my answers will go to other people. So they can, if they're my friends, they can go look at how I responded.
Oh,
and
that's
then
pretty
they can,
cool.
Yeah, then and then it's kind of like Facebook. They can like it or heart it, or they can comment on it. And so I've had a few little back and forth conversations with a few of the guys in Fathers of the Grind group, or Grind the Fantasy group.
Oh, my word. Don't ever say it again.
So I've had a few back and forth with them, just joking around, having fun. So it's been pretty cool. And then you can play little mini games. You earn rewards, so you can buy costumes. There's just a bunch of stuff.
All right. So if people in our group want to get on board with this, and I've seen a lot of people posting about it. I know Robert Snow is one who just jumped on board. There's a few others who are saying, Frank Clark, a few others saying, "Hey, let's do this. Let's get a community going on this." How do you connect with each other on there? Do you have to know each other's phone numbers? How does it work?
I would suggest for our group, we just become friends on Facebook and then just add each other. Because
so you can add people via Facebook.
Yeah. So if you link your account, it'll tell you, "Hey, this is your Facebook friend."
Easy
and
enough.
They,
cool.
And they have a Miyamoto or Miyamoto. Oh, no, I did it.
Miyamoto. There has to be a shout out to him in that name, Miitomo, but maybe not.
Yeah. So anyways, that was my quick little thing on it. Definitely download it. It's worth it. It's cool. Check it out. And moving on.
Miitomo. Very cool. All right. Well, we've got a few headlines we want to cover, or at least, you know, just touch on. We're not going to cover all of them. We just want to cover ones that are interesting to at least one of us, if not both of us. But before we talk about things that websites and social media and everyone's chatting about, I wanted to give a perspective on the news from someone that I don't know about you, Derek, but I really respect. I mean, to me, this the business acumen, the vocabulary, the just overall intelligence of this man is
I've actually considered
stunning.
Leaving my job. I work for Chase. I'm considering leaving my job so I can just go work for this guy.
Yeah, he's absolutely amazing. You guys know him on Twitter as @Kazuhirai, CEO. And he has the best takes on current events in the gaming world of anybody. Yeah, so let me just give you some recent news as told by Kaz Hirai. So regarding the Xbox Live connection issues that were happening in February, here's how he summed up that news. Two big former PlayStation exclusive came out on Xbox One this week, Rocket League and network connection issues. It's true. It's not funny. It's true. It's
100% true.
And he's also not afraid to talk about the PSN connection issues. They also had struggles. And so here's one of the details. They released firmware 3.5, and so here's his summary of that news headline. "With firmware 3.50, we are adding functionality for users to appear offline. We also hope to add functionality for PSN to appear online."
I'm like cracking up. Like while you're talking, I'm like, "Don't make a noise." And I'm just laughing because I'm reading ahead. This is terrible.
You guys remember the debacle when they used assets from the Assassin's Creed series, some of their art assets, in the Uncharted 4 trailer. And so he put up a picture, and I included that in the notes there for your enjoyment there, Derek, where it's a picture of Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag, but someone has copied and pasted, and it's clearly like this white background pasted Uncharted 4 title on top of it.
It's terrible.
And it says, I am proud to reveal the final box art for Uncharted 4, A Thief's End.
We worked so hard on this.
Oh my gosh. So funny. And the timing is just hilarious. That was right after all that news came out, where the Ubisoft guy was like, hey, I made that. You guys are idiots for using my art without permission. And so he posted this shortly after that. We worked so hard on this. Oh, that's great. And the last one I'll share with you is regarding politics. And, we're not going to get political and who's right and who's wrong here. But this was very funny. As all the Donald Trump stuff just keeps rolling along here, at the beginning of the month, Kaz put up a post that said, the Republican Party right now. And it says colon. And then there's a picture of Donald Trump at one of his rallies giving a thumbs up, and overlaid on top of that image of Donald Trump, it says, there's a black box, and it says, are you sure you want to restart the 2016 presidential election? All your saved progress will be lost. Yes or no? So it's really great, and I think, yeah, many people do want to restart that. But yeah, so there you go. Kaz, thank you so much for your insights, your wisdom.
Yep,
and for those of you who want a good laugh and you like keeping up with the games industry, a lot of these jokes are super nerdy. I tried sharing them, one or two of them, with my wife because I was just laughing at them. And she's like, I don't understand most of this stuff that you laugh at. Like, yeah.
Yeah, you would have to know what he's making fun of, which would be the games industry.
Like the Uncharted 4 art thing. I was crying laughing so hard when I saw it. I was looking on my phone. And my wife just looks over at me. I'm on the couch just dying. And she's like, what is wrong with you? So I tried to explain it. And she was so eager to get back to whatever she was doing on her phone. As I'm explaining it, she's like, no, I shouldn't have asked.
I shouldn't have asked. Yeah, that was a dumb idea.
All right, let's talk about some headlines. We're just going to go through these relatively quickly, unless you've got some thoughts on them. There's a few of them that I think are either continuations of conversations we've had in the past, or just are interesting things to note for our listeners. The first one, I know we've got some sports fans in our group, and I know you and I, Derek, have talked about NCAA football before. We both liked that series a lot. We're both big college football fans.
Mm-hmm.
It was announced that the final payouts have been determined for this NCAA lawsuit by Ed O'Bannon. Mr. I've got nothing else to do. I'm going to sue.
Yeah.
And so the final payouts were announced. They were not that impressive. The numbers themselves aren't that interesting. But what's interesting to me is, I think, and I don't know if you have any thoughts on this, I think this might open the door for conversations to begin again on getting college sports back in the video game world. I hope something, some kind of conversation will begin now that that's happened. Do you think that's going to happen, or do you think, no, this is just people getting paid and they're still not going to be made?
I mean, I think if EA was smart, and I believe they are, that they're already having these conversations. Like, they've already probably known for a while how much they're going to have to pay out. Which, you know, you said you weren't going to get in the numbers. Real quick, it's $1,600 per player. So if you multiply that by a lot of athletes, it's still a good amount of money that they're paying out.
But certain players get more, just so you know. Like, Ed O'Bannon and a few others are getting a lot more, yeah.
Yeah, because he brought it up. He whined the most, so he gets more.
Yeah.
But I think realistically, they could probably make that back in one or two releases of the game.
Right.
So it would be in their interest to do that. Now, here's the thing that would hold them back. If they have to pay a lot of money up front just to make the game, and I'm not talking about making the actual game, I'm talking about paying the NCAA if they have to pay players or anything like that, that would hold them back, then that would be the reason they would say, nope, we're done. We're never doing this again.
Right.
But if it's something, some agreement that they can do, like I heard a rumor that they were going to just pick the top schools. They weren't going to do all the schools like they were doing before. They were just going to do some of the major ones like Michigan, and you're a Penn State fan, so I'll say Penn State, even though they're crud. But some of the major schools that would have an agreement with them, like, hey, we're willing to do this. We're not going to charge you billions of dollars to do it. We support it. Boom. And then put them in a game. So I do think we could see possibly a new game, but I...
Well, and one of the things that I thought was once they get this all settled with the players, I do think that the schools, for the most part, I would imagine they see the benefit in it. You're continuing to please your fans who are, you know, paying for tickets and watching you on TV and paying for advertising.
So easy with the players. Like, all you have to do, and this isn't to be, like, to get all racy or anything, but if number 12 on Michigan is a black player, make them white.
Well, I was actually kind of going to go there. I was just going to say, I wonder if the next step is to... Have you ever played the game where they just kind of, as you recruit new players and you're doing franchise or dynasty mode and you get new players in, they're just randomly generated?
Yeah.
I could see them creating the next NCAA game where the schools are real and all the information about the schools, maybe even the coaches if there's a deal there, who knows. But all those things are real and in place, but the players are completely made up. And I could see that being the case. And they do something like that. And then, of course, you know, users could create rosters and you could download them that way and fill out your rosters through a downloadable of some kind. But, I could see that being kind of a way that they could resolve this without needing to pay people again. But anyway, thought that was interesting. I would love to see a new NCAA game.
I would probably have a heart attack if they ever announced one.
I would love it. I would love it. All right. Also, Telltale has announced that The Walking Dead is launching, the season 3 of The Walking Dead is launching sometime this year. Of course, all 5 episodes or 6 episodes, however they decide to do it. There's no way that they'll all be out within this year. They have a lot of time between episodes. But you should be seeing episode 1 of season 3 sometime in 2016. Now, probably did you finish season October. 1 and 2?
Yeah, I did both of those.
Yeah, I liked them both. I liked the way they did it. But I have heard that there's going to be an update to their engine, starting with the new Batman Telltale game this year. I would assume The Walking Dead's going to benefit from that as well. So I'd love to see an update to their engine. It doesn't have to be totally revamped. Just, you know, fix a lot of the issues.
I think there's a couple things I'd like to see from a Telltale game. I'd like to see prettier graphics. It doesn't have to be, you know, like a AAA upgrade. But just... Yeah. A little bit sharpen it up. And then just it actually run correctly. I mean, the stuttering is ridiculous. Yep.
It speaks to the writing, the quality of the writing and the story they're telling and the characters they have, that I still love all those games despite all of its many, many, many technical flaws. There are things that take me completely out of the experience because technically there's so many glitches and things that jump and kind of, you know, bleed through or break. And it's just, oh, that's not how it was supposed to work. But I still love those games because the story and the writing is so good. So yeah, I'm with you. I mean, if they upgrade the technology, then all of a sudden the Telltale games are going to be back on my radar in a big way. So yeah, very cool. All right. Also, Xbox has some free games coming out for gold this next month. Did you get a chance to look at these yet?
Yeah. It's a good lineup.
I think it's probably one of their best lineups, at least since I've owned an Xbox, which has been a long time, you guys, that I've had this Xbox One.
Yeah. Like month.
It's been a long time. But no, they've got some great ones coming out. So in April, for the Xbox One, for the entire month, starting on the 1st, which will be
tomorrow,
as you're listening to it, is The Wolf Among Us, the full season. Great game. Speaking of Telltale, great game. And then starting mid-month, April 16th to May 15th, is Sunset Overdrive, which when I saw that, I was excited because that's a major Xbox One game that I've missed out on up to this point. So The Wolf Among Us, Sunset Overdrive, great lineup for the Xbox One. And then on the 360, two games that you'll also be able to play on the One, is Dead Space and Saints Row. And they're going to split the month. The first 2 weeks of the month, Dead Space, and then second half of the month, Saints Row 4. So there you go. What are your thoughts on the gold lineup?
Four of those games are great. Unfortunately, I own all of them except Dead Space, and I probably won't go back and play Dead Space. But still, wonderful month. Not everybody's like me and has all those games. So if you haven't bought those games, The Wolf Among Us, phenomenal. Sunset, quality game. I wouldn't say it was amazing for me. I didn't even finish it because I just kind of got bored with it. And then Dead Space is a really, really good horror game. And Saints Row 4 is, well, a great game.
Yep.
Good.
Yep. Fun for someone like me who has Wolf Among Us and Saints Row 4 on PC through various sales and stuff over there, this is great to have it on a console. And then, of course, the other two, I do not own Dead Space. I played a long time ago, but I never really owned it. I think I just borrowed it. Maybe Gamefly. I forget. But yeah, this is great. This lineup for me is fantastic. And so to counter that, let's look at what Sony's offering through the PlayStation Plus games for April. For the PS Vita, you're going to see Tsushima. I have no idea what Tsushima is.
Sounds great.
And A Virus Named Tom. Now, both of these titles sound like games that Derek would love.
Oh, yeah. I already pre-ordered them and actually called. Well, here's what I did.
You bought them before they go free. You bought them.
Well, yeah. Well, see, what I did is they announced it, and I was like, no, no. I called Sony immediately, and I was like, yes, can I please speak to a rep? And they're like, yeah, what can we help you with? And I said, you released a couple of games that are going to be free in April for PS Plus. Your recent announcement about it, but I want to pay for them.
Yeah.
And so the lady was like, I'm sorry, sir. What are you saying? I'm saying, I want to pay for these games because they're absolutely phenomenal. And
oh, boy.
She didn't quite understand, but bottom line is I ended up giving Sony $40. I now own A Virus Named Tom.
Mm-hmm.
And Shit Shimmy.
I was waiting for it. All right, if you own a PS3, I Am Alive and Savage Moon are available for you
starting on April 1st.
And the, yeah, I totally did. Yeah, sorry. Not sorry. And then PS4, there's Dead Star, which will be releasing this month, so you can grab that for free. And Zombie, port of the Wii U game that got mixed reviews, but it was a unique game on the Wii U because of its usage of that the controller. So I wonder
it's
if it'll carry
good
over
game.
The same way.
It's a good survival PS4. Horror game. It doesn't have the greatest gameplay, but it's definitely one if you're like looking for a game that puts you at like basically feeling uneasy at all times because you're worried about losing everything. It's almost like a Dark Souls. So you're going out there, you've got all this stuff, and if your character dies, your character
you can lose it all,
dead,
right?
Dead. And you basically are reborn as a totally different person, and you have to go back to where you died to get all your stuff back.
Yeah, yeah, that's cool. That's cool. Well, Dead Star 2 is releasing. It's launching as a PS Plus game, and it's a team-based shooter with RPG influence that is dreamed up by the folks at Armature Studio, and it was founded by key members of the Metroid
Prime
team.
I'm a big Metroid fan.
So that's kind of cool. I like that. That's pretty good credentials. I know you are. Dead Star is the result of a wouldn't it be cool if type process. That's how the developers describe it. It started with a space shooter foundation, but then they grew in and added in elements of strategy and mobile-like pieces. So anyway, Dead Star, I mean, it's going to be free, so why not? And as Derek said, you could always call and ask to pay for it if you are
like
as excited as he is.
More.
So if I had to give a brief review of those two, I'd say Microsoft nailed it, and Sony, yeah, it's okay. Not amazing. The last couple months for Sony's PS Plus games have been a lot better, including games like Helldivers and Broforce and Galaxy. A little bit better selection, but I feel like this time it's not quite as amazing. All right. There's a new game coming from Obsidian, and it's called Tyranny. Now, I know you're familiar with Obsidian based on the games that they've been involved with in the past. Knights of the Old Republic 2, Neverwinter Nights 2, Fallout New Vegas, Dungeon Siege 3, South Park Stick of Truth, Pillars of Eternity. And now they're making a game called Tyranny. Now, they're teaming up with Paradox Interactive again, just like they did with Pillars of Eternity. And this game, they describe it as making a game about making tough, morally gray decisions. Players live in a war-torn world ruled by an evil overlord named Kairos. And so you can find out more about this, including the release date, platforms on their official website. But Tyranny sounds pretty cool. Obsidian's got a good track record. It's nice to see them putting out a new IP as opposed to, I mean, they were known kind of for picking up the sequels for popular games and doing a pretty great job with them. So it's cool to see them launching another new IP, just like
Pillars of Eternity. Even though I have Pillars of Eternity on PC, I really wish they would release that on console. Even though it's more of a PC-style
game,
it's one yeah. that I think would do quite well if it were released on like the PS4 or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, speaking of PC style games that come out in consoles, there was apparently a stealth release of XCOM on the Vita.
Yeah.
I got to go check that out. I had no idea that dropped. I mean, I don't feel like it was talked about much.
I mean, I will say this, real gamers, that would be me, we knew. Pathetic people who pretend to be gamers, they didn't know. So you kind of figure out where you are.
Just there. Off the top of your head, I mean, no pressure, but who would fall into that category that you know right now? Like, what name comes to mind first when you think of that fake, pathetic style person? No, I mean, no feelings will be hurt. Just who comes to mind?
Definitely wasn't directing that right at you.
Okay, good. I was just making sure because
definitely.
I was starting to choke up a little bit. All right.
Yeah, you're not a fake.
So the game Rime, R-I-M-E. It sounds like Sony is out as the publisher, and they now have the rights back to this IP, and it's very possible, if not even confirmed, that it will not be a PS4 exclusive. So if you remember that Rime is a surrealistic adventure game, it was mentioned in many different lists as here's yet another Sony exclusive, but it's no longer proprietary IP of Sony. And so they definitely will have the ability to put it out on whatever platform they want to. So that's kind of interesting. There was an interview with the developer by Polygon, if you guys are interested in finding out more about that. But not a huge deal, I suppose, but it still is interesting to see a game that was listed as an exclusive that people are excited about, no longer super exclusive. We shall see, that's right. We shall see. And who knows, they still might make an exclusive game. Maybe they just wanted to retain the rights to it. So... All right.
Yeah, that could be it.
Have you played Banner Saga yet?
No, I own it on two platforms, and I've ignored it on two platforms. So
you haven't even played it at all?
I mean, I played like the first 5 minutes on PS4.
Okay. Well, Banner Saga 2 is going to launch, and of course, this is part of their planned trilogy of games. So Banner Saga 2 is launching on April 19th, so it's coming out in about 2 weeks, a little more than 2 weeks. The sequel to its Viking role-playing game is now up for pre-order on Steam, and you can buy it for 10% off from now until its release date. So the first one arrived in January of 2014, and it sounds like the third one, they don't really have any mention of when the third one's going to come out, but this is the second one of a planned trilogy. So there you go. It's coming out in a couple weeks. Go check it out if you guys like this, the strategy turn-based RPG-style game.
It's pretty solid, but I haven't gotten into it enough to have an opinion.
Yeah, but it's pretty solid.
Solid 5 minutes.
I have no idea if it's solid or not. I don't know if I can trust you.
You can trust me because I'm actually a real gamer. But again, I'm not directing that towards you.
Right. Yeah. There was no passive-aggressive insult there whatsoever.
No, I don't do that.
Lithium Inmate 39 is a psychological horror game. It's like a puzzle 3D platformer. It looks kind of interesting. And it is coming out for the PS4. Being developed by Kanu Arts. And it follows the story of a psychiatric patient who must find his way back to his origins to discover his past and understand what's going on in his mind. It's very creepy looking. Lots of grays and blacks. It looks like a black and white game almost, except for things like fire and blood, especially when you die with one of these traps and puzzles that you don't solve correctly. Lots of red shows up on the screen. So kind of an interesting, unique looking game. It's one of those ones that has an indie flair to it in terms of its visuals and just kind of the overall theme, but I feel like it looks and might even play like a game that you might actually like. So Lithium Inmate 39 looks really cool.
I'm going to go with no.
It does look cool. Oh man, come on. I thought that was going to be a winner. One of these days I'm going to win you over on one of these games. You won't yawn halfway through it. You're going to love it. Yeah. Hellblade, Senua's Sacrifice.
Now we're talking.
Yeah, I knew you'd like it. I'm bringing you back.
Let's actually end on this. Let's talk about this game, and then we're going to close up shop. But this is a game that I'm pretty excited for, but I'm going to let you talk about it.
Yeah, Hellblade, Senua's Sacrifice, being developed by Ninja Theory. They debuted a new trailer during GDC last week or 2 weeks ago. It was formerly known as just Hellblade, and then they put out this new trailer that looks very emotional. It looks very cool. This new protagonist, her name is Senua. She's a Celtic warrior. She's left traumatized after a Viking invasion, and she develops psychosis as a result of the attack and hears voices in her head. And so Hellblade seeks to explore mental health issues through the character. So it's got a deep kind of structure there that they're building this game on. But the visuals alone in the trailer and the way they did that motion capture trailer looks stunning. I mean, you should go on YouTube, just Google or YouTube search Hellblade Senua's Sacrifice and check out this trailer from Ninja Theory. It looks gorgeous.
Yeah, they're we've talked about them in the past, so I'm not going to, you know, go over it again, but they've created some really good games in the past. This isn't some... Yep. This is one of those developers to me that they always put out a quality product, kind of like Obsidian. They always do, but they've never been a big developer. Like, they've never blown up where you could go, that's a huge IP that they release. They kind of just release these games. They do mediocre to solid in sales, so that kind of keeps them alive, but they don't ever blow up. But I feel like they've had so many titles, at least for me personally, that I've been like, love that, love that, love that, love that, you know.
Well, so, if you want some kind of some background on the technology itself, just to give you an idea of how good this technology is, they're working with Cubic Motion. It's a facial animation and computer vision firm. They contributed technology for games like The Order 1886, Until Dawn, and Rise, Son of Rome. So those are the games on their resume, and they're working with Ninja Theory on the facial animations and visuals.
Oh, it's going to be amazing. Which I think for this type of game, with what they're trying to do, I mean, I don't even know what it's... When I first saw Senua, or whatever her name is, in the very, very first trailer, she looks a lot like the girl from Heavenly Sword. So I really thought, and you think about it, the names, Heavenly Sword, Hellblade. So I was thinking this was like a spiritual sequel or successor or something along those lines.
And I assumed that too.
So I thought this was going to be another action, third person, you know, kind of like God of War style game. And I'm not saying it's not, because I don't think we've really seen enough to say this is what this is. But what I was trying to say is, with what they're trying to deal with as far as plot and who Senua is and what she's dealing with, facial animations and emotions from those facial animations is going to be huge, at least from what I'm gathering. Yep. So them using this type of technology could really, really up the way we connect with her and her issues or what she experiences. So that's
Think about a game like L.A. Noire, which was a little bit ahead of its time, I think, in terms of technology. It still had some really cool motion capture facial stuff going on for those interviews and interrogations you had to do in that game, and you had to follow these little like nervous tics or habits of someone who was lying or whatever else. And I liked that, but it still looked a little video gamey. This trailer, if you guys haven't seen it, it's almost as real life looking as anything I've ever seen. It looks amazing, and I'm very excited for this game. I like the setting too. I like this Celtic and Viking setting. So very much looking forward to this game, Hellblade. It's very high on my radar there. So, hey, there's other announcements and games that have been talked about. There's other news, but those are the ones that we thought were interesting enough to cover. I want to throw one more quick one out there that I know Derek will love. Guys, Axiom Verge is coming to Vita on April 19th. And if you bought it on the PS4, it is free on the Vita, so make sure you pick that up. All right, I just wanted to close with that.
Oh, I'm back.
Yeah, he's back. Derek, thanks for taking time to chat tonight. And for those of you who get a chance to listen, we want to hear what you think about the Final Fantasy 15 announcements, about Miitomo. If you're in our group, make sure you share your, maybe request friends with everybody so you can share your little me with each other and make fun of each other's answers for stuff. And it'd be cool to get a group of people on that. And yeah, any other thoughts you have, feedback for the show itself, if you want to chime in on some of the things we've discussed, feel free to just comment on something in the group or make your own post. We'd love to chat with you a little bit. So, Derek, let's close out with my favorite section of the show. You always drop some knowledge that blows our minds. I assume that you spend hours during your workday using your employer's money, basically, to come up with this wisdom. And so I'm looking forward very much to hearing your wisdom now that we are entering a new month.
Yeah, tomorrow is April, which means today is March. So tomorrow's April.
Wow. Guys, let that sink in for just a minute. That was good. That was good. And by good, I mean awful. I'm really sorry we ended the show that way.
You better not cut that joke. That was perfect.
I'm not. I'm going to leave it.
I nailed it.
All its awkward painfulness, it's going to stay. It's going to stay.
I nailed that. Thank you.
Thank you, you're everybody,
you
for
know
listening.
What? Actually, you're welcome. Thank you. I nailed it.
Actually, you know what? You're welcome. Oh, boy. All right. Thank you guys for listening. And as always, join us in the Facebook group, Fathers of the Grind. We'd love to keep the conversation going there. And have a great week.
Who is your daddy?
I am the father.
You fathers will understand.
My father taught me many things here.
I got an idea. How about you all sit there quietly while I make dad noises?